Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Deacons and staff, we will meet right after church just for a few minutes. I just want to touch base on a couple things. And it will be a short meeting tonight. And I just want to touch base with you on a couple things. And we'll just meet right up here. That will save me from walking down those steps. And all righty. Genesis chapter 50. I want to bring a message to you this evening, something that you live with every day in your life. I'm going to try to encourage you. And here's the thought. Here's the title, Raj. Meant unto good. Meant unto good. You ever, a lot of times we go through things in life and say, man, why did that have to happen? Man, why did those things have to happen? Man, I'm walking with God. I love the Lord. Why does that have to happen? How many have ever felt that way? And the Lord showed me something last night and helped me and made me want to preach on this morning. And at the end, near the end of this message, I'll probably tell you what He showed me. And let's stand for reading of God's Word, Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 20. A familiar story about Joseph, but there's a great truth behind it. Notice in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 50, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will preadventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died. Boy, these guys were really, what a bunch of brothers. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm glad I ain't got a brother like that. Who needs anybody else if you had people like this? Amen. Neither were they evil. They were liars on top of it, weren't they? Notice verse 17. So shall he say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants of thy God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Remember, he dreamed that too. They got mad when he told them. You know, we need some dreamers for God. I was thinking about this Christian school, Eddie. I'll be preaching the first chapel this year for our Christian school. And I got thinking last night, I think I'm going to try to challenge us. God changed it. I'm going to try to challenge our kids to be dreamers for God. We need some dreamers for God. Amen? Joseph was a dreamer for God. Well, notice, and Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God, and it always is, isn't it? It's always but God. But God meant it unto good. See that? Meant it unto good. That's the title of my message, meant unto good. To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that I can be a blessing to the people today. I sure would like to be. And I just pray, dear God, that you'd be in our presence. Lord, I think about Dakota Wilson. Please. Lord, help Dakota. Lord, I know his body's always under attack. Please reach down and touch him with the hand of God. Lord, little Haley, and Lord, all the others that we prayed for, Lord, be with every one of them, we pray. Especially, be with our children. And Lord, just bless everyone here tonight. Be with those that couldn't come. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 20, Joseph said to his brothers who were terrified, who were shaking in their socks, Eddie. He said, you've done this, what you did, the evil you did to me, you did it because you thought evil against me, but God meant it to be good. But even though God used you as an instrument to work in my life. Even though you were doing it evil against me, God meant it to be good. There's things that happen in our lives sometimes, trials and sufferings, heartaches, sickness, diseases, tragedies. Sometimes it's not because you're doing anything bad. God does chasten his children when they're bad. Just like you spank your child when they do bad. And by the way, you should correct your children when they're bad. A parent that really loves his child will correct his child. That's why God, he loves his children, he corrects them. But every time that something happens bad to a Christian, a lot of Christians say, wow, they must have done something bad for God to do that to them. Can I tell you something? God's not always doing bad to them because they did something bad. You're going to find out as we study this, Joseph was walking with God all the way. I'm going to keep showing you as we preach, the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. You know, you say, wow. There's going to be times that Sean and Nicole, you might face a lot of challenges and heartaches and suffering and some tragedies. And it's not that God's mad at you at all. God's got a purpose for it. And the scripture says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And God said in this verse 20, and through Joseph, he meant it unto good. All these things befell Joseph. All these things happened in Joseph's life. For so something good can come out of it. And Joseph's brothers were afraid of... Let's look at the scriptures and just reflect for a few minutes about it. They were afraid of Joseph after the death of their father. You know, their father was Israel. His name was Jacob. And then God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And of course, Israel had 12 sons, didn't he? And then in verse 15, notice in verse 15, I kind of like this, Eddie. Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead. They said, Joseph will preventure hate us. By the way, if he would have hated them, he would have showed him he hid him before, long before that. But preventure hate us and will certainly requite. Requite. Who's the English teacher? Is it requite or requit? Requite. I had it right the first time. All right, good. I'm glad I got that. Hit one, amen. I just guessed. Got it right, amen. Requite. And so, long I, because you got the E at the end. And so, anyways, that word requite, I'm going to put you in the kids' terms. How many ever heard paybacks? That's what that word's talking about. They're saying, uh-oh, now it's payback time. Now he's going to avenge us. Now he's going to get even with us. That's what that word is meaning. Uh-oh, now we did all that to Joseph. Now dad's gone. Now he's going to get even with us. He held off because dad was alive. But boy, now dad's gone. Boy, are we in for trouble. How many get the picture? Then in verse 16 and 17, they go so far to make up a story. And they lie. They said, Joseph, they sent a messenger to Joseph say, hey, before dad died, Joseph, he wants you to make sure you forgive all us boys, your brothers. You can't be mad at us. You got to forgive them for their trespass against us. And look at that verse 16 and 17. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died. He didn't do that. What a liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen. Every liar have his part in the lake of fire. Amen. So notice, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass for thy brethren and their sin. At least they recognize they sinned against him. Amen. And for they did evil unto thee. By the way, every lost sinner needs to realize they've sinned against God. Every lost sinner, every unregenerated person needs to know they've sinned against Christ and that Christ was a sin bearer for them. Of course, Joseph is a type and a symbol. Sometimes we can see some symbolic truths that how Joseph sometimes is a type of Jesus Christ. Here he's a type of the forgiving Savior. Amen. Because Joseph was really their Savior. He saved their life from dying because he prepared food for the famine. Amen. But notice, verse 17 really touched my heart. And Joseph wept. You could put right there, right by that scripture, John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. You know, Joseph had a lot of characteristics like our Savior. There's some similarities of his life that were similar to our Savior. And he wept. He wept because he loved sinners. Boy, we need to love sinners. Amen? And Joseph was a type of Christ. I didn't write them all, but I just wrote a couple. First of all, he was hated and despised by his brother. So was Jesus. He was beloved of his father. So was Jesus. He was betrayed by his brother. So was Jesus. He was sold for money. So was Jesus. He was put in prison wrongfully. So was Jesus. He was lied about. So was Jesus. This is Joseph comparing to Jesus. He suffered so many could live. So did Jesus. We're talking about Joseph. How many understand what I'm doing right now? Joseph had a forgiving spirit. So did Jesus. Joseph was faithful to his duty. So was Jesus. His brethren bowed down before him. And every knee is going to bow before Jesus and confess him as Lord. Amen. And then Joseph was put in a pit, but he was raised from the ground. He was raised from the pit. And so was Jesus on the third day. Can anyone say amen? Well, I want you to notice in verse 18, his brethren also went with and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we are thy servants." Now watch verse 19. Joseph said unto them, "Fear not." That's what Jesus said to the Robert preached on Sunday about the men in the ship. Jesus always telling people, "Fear not, be of good cheer. I'm with thee." Amen. Notice he said, "Fear not." Now watch this. I'm going to give you a little nugget. I just saw this today, Rod. Never saw this before till today. Notice it says, "For am I in the place of God?" He said, "Don't play. Don't fear, man. I'm with God." Now, if I wasn't with God, you'd be in trouble. Are you with me? But when you read that, Lizzie, "For am I?" You would think you'd say, "I am in the place of God." You ever think about that? How many are with me? You see, the Lord showed me something. I circled that. Notice he said, "Am I?" He said, "Am I," instead of "I am." You see, Joseph was just in type of Christ. That's why he was "Am I." Christ is the "I am" of the Bible. And I believe that's purposely there. I believe "Am I" is there instead of "I am," because Joseph was not the Christ. He was just in symbol and type of Christ. And only Christ is the "I am," Exodus 3:14 of the Bible. Isn't that good? That'll give you something today. Notice also verse 20. Notice what he says in verse 20. "God meant it unto good. Get this. Joseph was in the place of God, yet he had trials. He had heartaches. He had sufferings. He had loss of freedom. Hello? I mean, Sean, Joseph loved God, yet he had all kinds of problems. What I'm trying to tell you is the Christian life isn't always a bowl of roses. See, we're not in the promised land yet. And we're in a world of suffering and agony. And by the way, we're gonna go through some of those things. We're gonna understand because our Savior suffered. That's what Romans teaches about, so we can understand the sufferings also. Are you still with me, church? Now, notice every time someone's going through a trial or hardship, doesn't mean God is chasing them. Was God chasing Joseph? No, he was in perfect will of God. Every time someone's going through a trial or hardship, doesn't mean God's chasing them. God does chase his children. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But not all bad things that happen to you are God's chastening. Sometimes God lets things happen to our lives because they are meant unto good. Oh, the Lord gave me a truth, Ruthie. Joseph loved the Lord, but a lot of bad things happened to him. God was not punishing Joseph at all in all these bad things that happened. God meant them unto good. Now, I want you to turn your Bible to Genesis 37. And all I'm going to do is read these, but I want you to follow along with me just so you can see them, because I'm going to go through this like in 2 minutes. What are some of the things that Joseph experienced? In Genesis 37:5, you're going to notice Joseph was hated by his brother. I'm going to give you some thoughts about Joseph's lives. Here it is. He loves the Lord, but he's hated by his brethren. Boy, what's wrong with Joseph? Genesis 37:24, Joseph was cast into a pit. Hey, this guy, how I love Jesus. They threw him in a pit. Genesis 37:28, Joseph sold for 20 pieces of silver into slavery to the merchants who were Ishmaelites. Is that Ishmael again popping up? I know it says midnight chapter, but then later you'll see next chapter, they're called Ishmaelites. Genesis 39:1, then Joseph is brought down to Egypt, and Egypt is always a type of the world. He's taken down to the world, and he's sold to Potiphar. Are you with me? I'm here in Genesis 39:1. And 39:2, but look at Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph. Wow. He's hated. Thrown in a pit. They were going to kill him. Then thanks to Reuben, they got him out of there. But they still sold him off to people that they looked down on. Hello? Then he's brought down the worst place to go, Egypt. But all the time, he's going through all these heartaches. He loves God. Man, his life's in turmoil. His life is all tore up. Yet, Brother Brett, he loves God, and God loves him. I mean, he's walking with the Lord. He's got a good fellowship with God. Yet all these things are happening to him. By the way, those are not chastening of God. God's working all this for good. Are you still with me? Someone might think, I noticed Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph. Wow. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. I mean, he's thrown in the pit, hated, thrown up. I mean, the Lord was with him? You say, man, wow. I put down here, someone might think, wow. What would have happened if he wouldn't have been with the Lord? Amen. Kind of like if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. How many are still with me? Look at Genesis 39:19-20. Potiphar's wife's got an eye for Joseph, and she tries to get him in bed, and he runs, he drops his coat and runs, and she lies about him. Potiphar comes home, and his wife says, hey, you took advantage. He didn't, though. And so he's thrown in prison. I believe he was probably lashed, too. He probably was beaten, even though he did no wrong, he was lashed. Even though he did no wrong, Brother Rod, he probably had stripes. He bore the stripes of her sin. Are you still with me? Kind of like Jesus, amen? And then, and look at Genesis. Are you in Genesis 39:19-20? Look at the next verse, 21. But the Lord was with him. But the Lord was with Joseph. How many see that? Wow. Kind of gets you scared to walk. Man, I don't know if I want to be there with him. Amen? Yes, you do. You always want to be with the Lord. No matter how big the storm is, you want to be. You don't want to leave the ship because his ship never sinks. Then in Genesis 40, verse 1 and 2, Joseph in prison, or verse 12, rather, I'm sorry. In Genesis chapter 40, Joseph's in prison, and he interprets the chief butler's dream. And he says, man, you're going to get out of prison. He's going to put you back with your own job. He said, be sure that you tell Pharaoh. Now, when you get back to your old position, Mr. Butler, make sure you tell Pharaoh about me. Oh, I will, Joseph. Oh, I will. Thanks for interpreting my dream. I won't forget you. Duh. The butler gets taken up, puts back his old position. Guess what? He forgot him. How do you know that? Look at Genesis 41:1. 41:1. 2 years later. Do you see that? How many's with me? Look at 41:1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2's a number of witness, by the way. Are you with me? He's in that prison for 2 whole years. And that butler who's living up high in a hog, who Joseph interpreted the dream for him, never mentioned to the Pharaoh one time. I got a buddy down there. You need to get out. Then, of course, you know the story. By the way, those 2 years that Joseph was in the prison, was he out of the will of God? No. The Lord was with him. Talks over and over. The Lord, as a matter of fact, he prospered. Everywhere he went, it prospered. No matter if, even in prison, it prospered. I want you to see something. Joseph was a tremendous man. But Joseph suffered and saw a lot of heartaches and a lot of hardship. Sometimes we wonder, why are we going through this? Doesn't God really love me? Hello? He does love you. He does care. I wonder if God's mad at me. Not if you're walking with him. He's not. Don't look at people every time they're in a circumstance and say, boy, they must have really did something. Man, whew, that guy's really, man, you see a bad shape? He must have really did something bad. God must be really getting him good. We're so stupid. By the way, you don't have to tell a person when God's getting them. They know it in their heart. I guarantee you, when I spank little Lukey, he knows he's getting a spanking from this. Hello. When my dad spanked me, I didn't guess. Is my dad mad at me? When my dad spanked me, When our father spanks us, we say, okay, what do you want me to do? Are we still together? All right, let's proceed then. So then, in Genesis 41:1, 2 years later, 2 years later, 2 years, Eddie. Wow, that's a long time for a guy that's innocent, for a guy that loves God, for the guy that's walking with God. Amen? Now, Pharaoh has a dream. And nobody, you know the story, nobody can tell his dream. Finally, in Genesis 41:9, the butler remembers. Oh, yeah, I think I remember now. 41:9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Let me see that. What a knucklehead. Listen, Eddie, you know how you like to smack me? That guy needed a smack in his head. Whop, like a little, and maybe the Three Stooges in his eyes. Boink. What a 2 years in prison. Now watch. Joseph reveals the meaning of Pharaoh's dream of 7 good years in verses 28 to 31 of Genesis 41. He said, Pharaoh, what your dream is, you're going to have God showing you. You're going to have 7 good years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And of course, he's taken from prison, and he's put on the throne right next to Pharaoh. And you know the story. Joseph takes control, and they start building up food storages, and he's a great steward, and he builds storehouses, and he builds, during all the plenty, he stores a lot of food and everything. And then when the famine comes, not only did he, and here's what you got to see, not only did he save Egypt, but you see Jacob, Israel, they came into Egypt during the food, when the famine, and he saved his brethren. He saved his family. Aren't you glad Jesus saved us? But notice, I want you to get, I never thought about this till today, Roddy. It said that he saved them from the famine. Joseph saved his brethren from a famine. And I never thought about, I memorized this scripture years ago as a young kid. Don't turn to it. It's interesting though. Joseph saved his brethren from the famine. In Psalms 33, verse 18 and 19, talks about the Lord being our Savior. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, those that are saved. Are you with me? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in the famine. My, Joseph was really a type of Christ, wasn't he? Are you still with me? And today I just want to see this. Sometimes, by the way, if Joseph wouldn't have been hated by his brothers, because see, everything was meant unto good. Even all this stuff, Eddie, God said He meant it unto good, even though I don't think it was good. There's a lot of times we go through heartaches. It's not fun, but God's got a purpose behind it. If his brothers wouldn't have hated him, they wouldn't have threw him in the pit. If they wouldn't have threw him in the pit, they would have never sold him to the merchants coming down the road. If they wouldn't have sold him to the merchants coming down the road, they would have never got into Egypt. If he would have never gotten Egypt, Potiphar's wife would have never met him and never lied about him, and he would have never got thrown in jail. If he would have never got thrown in jail, he would have never met the butler, who we told interpreted the dream. And if he wouldn't interpret the dream, then the butler 2 years later couldn't have remembered to say, there's a man named Joseph in the dungeon that told me all that God revealed in a dream. And if he wouldn't have been told the dream and he wouldn't have told Pharaoh, then Joseph wouldn't have been there to store the food, to tell Pharaoh the interpretation of his dream and to store the food. And then if he wouldn't have done that, then the famine would have came and everybody would have perished. You see, all that worked, even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, does it? It makes sense, but we say, boy, I wouldn't want to be the guy going through it. But see, he said to those brothers, see, you meant this to me evil. Boy, what insight Joseph had, Rob. Tony, can you imagine the spiritual insight? He said, you meant this. He said, oh, God, show me. I went through all this for good. The reason, God, all that had to happen to me so I could be at this place. I thought about young Ed Wilson. He preached tremendous Sunday night. Had he not left Atlanta though, boy, Roddy, Robert, you get a chance. Robert preached dynamic Wednesday, Sunday morning. I just let the boys preach. Robert did phenomenal Sunday morning. And if Robert, there was a time in your life that you came here. If you wouldn't have come here, though, I believe you wouldn't be. I don't believe you'd be where you're at right now. I really don't. And I don't believe little Eddie would be. And he preached phenomenal. Both those boys, and something in their life that God had happened. And it might not have been real good at the time, but they got where God wanted them to be so they could accomplish what God wanted to be done in the place where God wanted it to be done. Isn't that amazing? You were looking at a church down in Lebanon, and a vacation Bible school from our church popped up. And they said, we got to get back to Bethel. It's amazing how God works, isn't it? Dee, I don't understand all the heartaches in life. I really don't. And I don't understand all the sorrows. I just know one thing. I believe God's promises, Carl. And one day they're all going to be gone. I prayed yesterday. It was either yesterday or today. I really got down. I prayed for your mama, Robert. I really asked God to touch her and heal her. I really did. And I'm hoping that He'll heal her. If He doesn't, because it's got to be His will. And she passes on, she'll be in heaven. And we'll see her again. And when we do, she'll never be sick again. Boy, there's a lot of heartaches in this life, bud. And sometimes it gets, in our Christian life, we really, you young people, listen to me. There's going to be knocks and bruises and ups and downs. It's not always that God's mad at you. Matter of fact, I think most time He's not mad at you at all. It's just that, one, we live in this world that's got all kinds of problems and sin and diseases. And two, sometimes He has to do things to steer us where he wants us. And all those things happened to Joseph. God meant it for good. He meant it for good so Joseph would be in Egypt to tell the Pharaoh his dream, so he would be lifted up and be put in charge and save all the food and save the people from the famine. Isn't that great? Now, what brought this on? I'm all done. By the way, the Apostle Paul, don't turn to it, but in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9, Paul said three times he asked God, he had certain things. And he said, God, can you remove this? And God, he said three times. But God came back to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient. I'm going to give you a thought and we're going to leave. Don't give up in the midst of heartaches and trials of lives. They may be sent from God because they're meant for good. Can I give you a thought that gave me the whole? Can I give you the whole thought behind this message? Trials are not supposed to make us bitter. They're supposed to make us better. I'm going to close you with this. I'm going to give you a confession. The day before the 50th anniversary, I threw this knee out. And this knee, although you didn't know it, this knee has not stopped hurting me. It hurts me 24 hours a day. Celebrex didn't help. And every kind of, I take mega aspirin and Tylenol and Vanquish. And I pop vitamin E's. And you just name, the other day I had a complete break out of my skin because I popped so much stuff to try to stop the pain. A few days ago I walked out there and said, God, this is not right. I shouldn't have to have a medical doctor to heal this leg. You should be able to heal it. So I told him. Listen, I've seen God heal people. I've seen Jamie Shell. She just had me preach a few. She had a thing on her nose for 2 years. I prayed, and the next day it came off. Before they took off on vacation, she said, would you pray? She had that one on her head. Right before the last, she called me and said, preacher, it fell off. I prayed for people and seen miracles happen for people's lives. And I told her, I said, God, how can you expect me to pray for people and then to believe that you can't even heal me? See, I was getting bitter. And I told Rose, I said, if I was out and doing wrong, real bad stuff, I could see it. And then God showed me something, Lizzie. Oh, I had to tell him I was sorry. I'm glad I'm not God, because that would have killed me by now. He knows our frame, doesn't he? And I'm not trying to share this with you to show you how dumb I am. I just want to share with you, maybe it can relate to your life. I haven't taken my blood pressure pills for over 2 months. I just hate taking them and the diuretics. And I said, bless God, I'm going to do without them. And so I said, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back to the doctor. And then God gave me this knee problem. And I finally called yesterday and said, I'll come in. I go tomorrow, 10 after 2. I had my blood pressure checked yesterday or the day before. It was 190, 189 over 111. That's a stroke zone. Are you with me? I'm trying to show you something. If God would have kept this leg hurting, I would have never called. By the way, I took the blood pressure pill today. We went and got them. But what I'm saying is this. I was so stubborn, I wasn't going to take them. So God said, okay, knucklehead, I'll just keep your knee hurting till you call. And see, Eddie, I think God meant this under good. When I saw my blood pressure the other day, and I seen, I was tweeting in the 200s, and way up over the 100s on the bottom, which is, warning, 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 zonk, 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 all the lights are going off. And I said to myself, Lord, you are so good.
Amen.
You are so good to me, God. Now I know why you didn't heal my leg. If you'd have healed my leg, I'd have kept going ahead and stroke.
Right.
But now I got to take the pills at least so I lose maybe another 70 pounds. I lose the weight, I don't think I'll take the pills. But Sean, I believe he made my knee hurt for 6 weeks solid now. For 6 weeks solid, day and night, he's made that knee hurt. And I can't put it up because when I put it up, it hurts more. Yeah, it's a bummer. And I'm stubborn. You'd be surprised how stubborn I am. And I looked up to God and I said, okay, I'm calling the medical doctor and I'm going to tell him you couldn't do it. That's what I said. See, I believe God can heal. Well, if I pray for him to heal you, why can't you pray for me to be healed too? I pray for that. God heal my knee. This has really hindered me. I can't hardly go anywhere. It hurts so bad. Can't think because it hurts so bad. He did that purposely. He meant it. And this is, I'm done. He meant it unto good. So I'll get to the place where I'm supposed to be. Are you getting it? I use myself as an illustration. See, he got Joseph had a, although Joseph wasn't an idiot, but God had to do some things in his life to get him to the place where he had to be. And sometimes God will do things in our life, in your preacher's life, just so he can get us to the place that we're supposed to be. And so it's really not that he's mad. He means it. It's meant unto good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, forgive me for being bitter. And thank you for me being better. Well, my knee still hurts, but my heart's in a lot better shape. I have an understanding now. You showed me through the scripture. Didn't understand why you did that. And still irritated about it, but I'll accept it. I understand what you're doing. And I wish you could have waited till one day after the 50th, though. But there was a reason for it. And so, Lord, I just want to tell you that I love you. And I love my people. And I thank you for loving us. And, Lord, I pray for my people as they go through the heartaches and challenges and sorrows of life. Help them know there's a God in heaven that loves them. Help them know there's a God that cares, that's watching over them. And that sometimes those things that we have to endure are meant unto good. And help us to understand when they're meant unto good, to not to become bitter, but to become better in it. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening before we go, maybe you're going through some troubles. Maybe you're going through some heartaches. You'd say, preacher, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let me ask you something, a real personal question. Maybe you like the preacher, you might have got bitter. You know, we can't understand things sometimes. We're just frail, we're human, we're just dust. You'd say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. There's been times I've got bitter lately at God. And I don't want to be bitter. Pray for me that God would help me to be better instead of bitter." Yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. You see, fellows, Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God did all this. He meant it unto good." Many times in your life, you're going to experience something where God's going to take you to another plane, another avenue, another place, because He meant it unto good. Thank you, Father, for taking us to those places that we need to be, even though you have to take sometimes measures to get us there. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless every person here. Several hands went up. Help them in their dilemmas. Help them in their heartache and their sorrow. Help them in their need. Help them and come down and be very special and real to them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We'll sing a verse.